for boys and girls sometimes to understand. But I'll explain it to you, and then I want to show you something special tonight. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now that verse may sound like it's hard, but let me explain it. For the prophecy, that's the words in the Bible. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. In other words, men did not just sit down and write the Bible. No, no. The Bible says holy man, that's men that love God, men that feared God, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or by God. So that's why we know that this is the Word of God. Not just part of it. It is the Word of God. Because it came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Ghost, as it says in this passage. Now, when I grew up as a boy, we used to make our own toys. And we had a great time. Back then when I grew up, you could carry a jackknife with you. You could even carry one to school. And we did a lot of things with a jackknife. Did a lot of carving. And one thing that we used to make, was what's called a hooey. Now back when I grew up, if somebody did not believe something, they said, "That's a lot of hooey. That's a lot of nonsense." And there are few people tonight that believe the Bible is a lot of nonsense. It's not. It's the wonderful Word of God. And we need to read it, realizing it's God's Word. And we need to study it, realizing it's God's Word. And memorize it, because it is God's Word. But people would say, that's a lot of hooey. And so I used to make hooeys. And I had a lot of fun doing it. For instance, I would get a stick. Sometimes not quite as straight as this one. And I'd put some notches on it. Notches on that stick. And I put a propeller on the end, and so I had an airplane. And I would run with it and go like that, and just run with it. And if I carved that propeller just right, it would go around. It would go around. But you look at this stick tonight, boys and girls. There's no rubber bands on this thing. There's no batteries. But if I take this stick and rub right here, that propeller will go around. And you watch real close and we'll get the thing going. Is it going yet? Not yet, is it? All right, let's get it going. All right, here we go. Just like that. And I lift my finger. I got my finger rubbing on the one side. And if I lift my finger and put my thumb on the other side, I can put the brakes on. Just like that, we'll go the other way. Just like that. Now we call this a hooey. It works. You may not understand how it works, but it's the answer. It's that when you're riding around in a car and you have to go to a gas station, and we're in the motorhome and we have to fill up that gas tank, and it costs about $350 to fill it up. I mean, this is the answer. You get a big one of these, run it right down through the center of your car, your mom gets on one side, and your dad on the other, and you can rub all the way around Gardena. You think it'll work? If you get it geared, don't you think it would work? Get it geared down just right? But there it works for me. And then you could put the brakes on when you come to the stop sign. Just put the brakes on just like that, and away you go. It's called a hooey. Called a hooey. Now, if you're good in the service tonight, at the close of the service, Mrs. Sanders is going to be back by the book table, and I want to give you one of these. It's a small one, and you'll be able to take it to school and take it wherever, and you'll have a great time. And wrapped around it is the scripture verse that I use tonight to share with you concerning the Word of God. It's God's wonderful word. And you'll have a great time with this, and your mom and dad will have a great time with it as well. Just like that. It's called a Huli. All right, you can go back now and sit where you need to sit. What a blessing to have boys and girls here each night. And remember, tomorrow night's our last night. And so invite folk. Get on the telephone and call folk up. And let's see if we can double our crowd tomorrow night as we come here to the house of God. Now, we're going to continue our Bible Land tour so we can have the... Thank you, brother. Must be rubbing this thing on my suit or something to make it wants to growl. All right, great. We only have one more night left, and the week has really gone fast. At least it has for us. Maybe it's not gone fast for you. It's gone really fast for us, and it's hard to believe we began on Sunday and closed on Friday night, and then Saturday, of course, we head out to the next meeting. But it's been a blessing this week, and we just rejoice in your attendance and rejoice in your enthusiasm and friendship and fellowship, and we appreciate your pastor and his dear wife. And we want you to know that we'll be praying for this church even as we travel. But one more night left. There's a book table in the back, some things that we carry with us that you might want to take time to look at. Turning your Bibles now to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And I want to begin reading in the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter, beginning with verse number 15. The Gospel of Luke, 12th chapter, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great blessing to read the Word of God. And know that you love us. You love us enough to give us your Word and the Holy Spirit to teach us your Word. Now to Lord, tonight, would you bless these dear folk from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, you've given us ears to hear and hearts to understand. And what a terrible thing it would be to come here into this place and not be listening, not be hearing the message of the Word of God that you have for us. So challenge us tonight. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, Lord, would you bring them under conviction and show them their need of salvation? Then as Christians, help us to have our priorities in the right place. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, it's interesting as you travel around the country, or even in large cities, you wonder where people are going. I mean, right out here next to the parking lot, of course, is 405. And I mean, you can, any hour of the day, I mean, look out through the trees there and see all that traffic. I mean, people are going. They're going someplace, somewhere. Everybody. And it's really a sobering thought to realize someday people are going to make their last trip. Every 10 seconds, 26 people die. And many of those young people are young people. I was thinking today as I watched the news about the terrible, terrible tornadoes down in those southern states. We've been down there in meetings just the day after they had those terrible tornadoes. And I can't imagine, everything was leveled, completely leveled. And of course, as of now, 50-some or 57 people have been killed, young people and adults, in terrible storms. And it's interesting, I think it was the governor, either the governor of one of the states or the mayor, said it was the wrath of God. That God was trying to speak and trying to get their attention. And I believe that's true. I believe it's true according to the Word of God. But you know, as I look at the scripture that I want to share with you tonight, I mean, this important scripture, we read here, the Lord tells about the ground of a certain rich man that brought forth plentifully. And he said within himself, what am I going to do? Because I have no room to bestow my goods. And he said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater. And then I'm going to take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And it seems like, dear friends, that people today are just interested in material things. Material things. Interested in what they can have. And so on. And that's the story presented here by the Lord Jesus. Here's a certain rich man that was so blessed of God, so blessed that he thought with himself, what am I going to do? I'll tear down my barns and build greater. And then I'm just going to take and eat easy, and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. But as I look at this passage and the truth of it, there's a challenge here that I find in verse number 20. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I want you to think with me tonight about that night. This night, God said, thy soul shall be required of you. Not later, but this night. And he had accumulated all these things and hoped to, just have a good time and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, this night, it's going to be the end. Your soul is going to be required of you. And when that night comes, when eternity comes, there's not going to be anything that's really important in this life. It's not going to be important when we face eternity. And we don't like to think about it. But oh, listen, that's why it's so important that we prepare for the night. We prepare for eternity. I think of a man that was in in the community where I pastored him. And his dear wife and children, he had about 12 children, they all got saved, and his wife got saved in the church, but he had no time for the church whatsoever. In fact, when I'd go and call on him, he would just cuss and swear. He called me every name under the sun. And you know what I did? I learned to keep my mouth shut, because it didn't do any good. I mean, if you just tried to stop him, he got angry, and I'd put my hand on his shoulder, and I'd say, you know something? God still loves you. And I still love you. And he was filthy on the inside. He was filthy on the outside. He's one of these men that believed the dirtier his clothes were, the warmer they were. He said the wind will not blow through them if they're dirty. That was his attitude. Now, I was back in that church in a revival, and I asked the pastor about this fellow, if he was still there. And he said, yes, he is. I said, listen, I don't want to go see him. And we drove out. He was in the garage. And I looked at him outwardly. He looked exactly the same outwardly. His coveralls were as dirty as they could be. And I got out, and I'd not seen him for years and years and years. And I went up to him and introduced myself. And I said, it's so good to see you. And here's what he said. He said, Rev, I've been looking for you. You see, you read about it in the paper. And I said to him, how's it going? How's it going? And as I looked at him, tears began to well up in his face. He said, my wife died last year. My children are all gone, and I'm all alone. And I took the opportunity to present to that man the message of the gospel. And I said, have you made any preparation for death? He said, yes, I have. I said, tell me about it. He said, I've been to the city. He said, I got the coffin all picked out. I've got the vault all picked out. He said, remember on the other side, on the west side of this city, there's a cemetery. He said, I got the plot all picked out. And he said, when death knocks at my door, I'll be as dead as a dog. buried 6 foot under. And I looked at that dear man. I said, you know that's not true. You know that's not true. I said, when you breathe your last, you're going to be in heaven or in hell. And I presented to him the message of the gospel concerning the night that's going to come when death is going to knock on the door. And dear friend, we need to be concerned about that night. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And it's so easy to be occupied with other things. It's so easy to not listen to the Word of God. It's so easy. But the Lord said to this man who thought about himself and thought about his prosperity and thought about the things that he had, God said, thou fool, thou unwise one, this night thy soul is going to require of thee. And I began to think about that second phrase, thy soul shall be required of thee. Have we forgotten about the requirement of the soul? What God is going to require of our soul? Have we forgotten that? You see, dear friend, the very life that we have in these bodies is a gift of God. And though the body is going to be put in the grave and is going to return to the dust, we're going to go someplace out there in eternity, and God is going to require our soul. Now, as I begin to think about it, we've forgotten about that. I think for the most part. Now, it may not be true of anyone that's here tonight, but we go to the place of pleasure. The place of pleasure. In Mark chapter 8, 36 and 37, it says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Lose his soul. I read here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. We have the idea today that in order to mount a thing, you've got to have a couple cars. You need to have a house with a two-car garage. You've got to have all these things. But Jesus said to the disciples, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's not the things that we possess that count. And in the place of pleasure, we've forgotten. We've forgotten the requirement of the soul. Oh, listen, America tonight is bowing at the shrine of the almighty dollar. No time for God, no time to go to church. There's time for money and time for bargains, but no time for God. And people are living solely for the things of this world. It's like my witnessing to a man that just retired from the military, and as I witnessed to him in his house, he said, why should I believe? He said, I got a wonderful wife. My house is paid for. I got a wonderful retirement. I've got a new car parked out there in front of the garage. Why should I trust God? And he simply was saying, I have everything that this world could give. I'm enjoying it. Why should I trust God? And I looked at that dear man, and I said, let me tell you why you need to trust God, why you need to get saved. I said, suppose you get out, I get up and go out in that car, and you head down the street, and as you come to that intersection, bang, a car crashes in the side of you and you're killed. I said, sir, what good is the house? What good is a wonderful wife? What good is a retirement when death comes? And I got his attention. You see, dear friend, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten in the place of pleasure the things of God? I mean, the reality of it. I mean, that night's going to come. Then we go to the place of place of business, where we've forgotten in the place of business. Forgotten about the things of God. Everybody for themselves. Everybody for themselves. And then we come to the home. The home, that institution ordained by God, and so on. And yet in the home, men are lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. And many, many homes today, children are not brought up with the Bible. There's no Bible reading. There's no praying whatsoever. I mean, it's like a lady said to me, the best babysitter I've got is a television set. No, that's not the best babysitter you've got. And people turn that thing on in the morning and leave the thing on all day, and coming over that television set are scenes of immorality and wickedness and so on, and young people are taking it in. It's like a lady that came to a meeting and was burdened about her daughter. Her daughter, when she graduated from high school, moved out of the house and moved in with a fellow. Not being married, moved in with a fellow, and was telling her, that's wonderful. And the mother said, what am I going to do? And I asked this dear mother, I said, listen, do you watch programs on TV? She said, yes. And I said, what's one of the favorites? She said, one of the favorites is has to do with two fellows that are living with a girl. And I said, that's exciting, isn't it? I mean, your daughter's been watching that type of thing, and so what happens? When she graduates, she moves out and moves in with a fellow because it's thrilling, because it's wonderful, because that, oh, listen, dear friend, it's time in our homes that we take a stand concerning the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and stand up and be counted. And I say this, there's nothing sinful about a television set, but listen, if you don't know where that on and off switch is, get rid of it. Because of what it's doing to young people. Young people. Oh, listen, dear friend. I think of after I got saved, I prayed that God would give me a home that I could live in, someplace I could call mom and dad. I worked for an alcoholic, a drunkard, milking 8 cows in the morning, 8 cows at night, and built fires in the country school, and I began to pray after I got saved in that tent meeting, and a dear couple by the name of Aglis and Leslie Lee got a hold of me. They said, we'd like to have you come and live with us. We don't have much to offer. We just have an 80-acre farm. We cannot pay anything. We'll give you room and board. And if you like it, you can call us mom and dad. I moved into that place. I didn't have much. Oh, I'll never forget it. I mean, the first morning we went out and did the chores. And after the chores were done, we came in and sat around that kitchen table to an old-fashioned breakfast. I mean, pancakes, had sausage, had bacon. Then we took the sausage and put on grease and put on the pancakes. We had potatoes. We had eggs. We had all that, all a delicious breakfast. Then we topped the whole thing off with a sugar cookie. And after breakfast, Mom would say, Dad, would you get the Bible? And he went and got the Bible. And they sat around that table every morning. Every morning, and read the Bible, and prayed for their pastor, and prayed for missionaries, and prayed for me. Every morning, they did it. When Sunday came, Dad said, we're just going to do the necessary chores today, because this is the Lord's Day. Didn't make any difference if farmers were in the field working. Didn't make any difference. When we had a revival in our church.
Father, the privilege that we have to come together, study your word. Father, I thank you for Dr. Sanders and just the way he's been able to just share so clearly. Father, I pray that if there be one here tonight that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that before they leave, that, Lord, they'll take care of that. That they will just yield to your Spirit's moving in their life. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. For all that we've seen this week and all that you've done. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just continue to work in a mighty way in our midst. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
America and in the culture, but we're reaping it. And parents get all upset because of what takes place in their family. But listen, they're reaping it. God says, don't be deceived. You're not going to mock me. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Oh, listen, dear friend. Oh, we need to get back once again. The requirement of the soul in the place of business, the requirement of the soul in the place of pleasure, the requirement of the soul in the home to put the Lord first. And, dear friend, how many of you here tonight, I'm not going to ask any response, but how many of you here tonight every day read your Bible? Every day, sit down with your children. Every day as a husband and father, read the Bible. Oh, you say, I'm busy. Yes, you're too busy. You can take time every day to put the Lord first if you want to. And I've learned this, and it's the truth. People do exactly what they want to do. Exactly what they want to do. And that they're not doing it because they don't want to do it. You see, God said what? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then we look at the churches. I believe for the most part, many, many churches have forgotten of the requirement of the soul. And it's really sad. I read someplace recently that 60,000 churches last year, I did not have one soul that was saved. Not one soul came to know the Savior. Oh, they went through worship. They went through Bible teaching. They went through all that. But nobody, nobody, nobody was snatched from the burning hell and got born again. Oh, listen. I think of the preacher tonight. He began his message with a nursery rhyme. And he ended it with Mickey Mouse theme song. Never read one verse from the Bible. And people at the door of that church shook the hand of that preacher and said, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. What's wonderful about it? It's not wonderful at all. You see, if you go to that kind of a church, God says in Revelation chapter 18, 4 and 5, come out of her, my people. Get out of it and get into a church where the gospel is preached, where the Word of God is taught, and where the Word of God is practiced. Now, the last thing I want you to see, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But then we read this. It says, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now begin to think about that last phrase. How can we be rich toward God? The Bible talks about if we live for self and lay up things for self, then we're not rich toward God. And it's important that we know how to be rich toward God. And it's presented in such a tremendous way in the Scripture. The Bible says, for instance, Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there are people today that are trying and trying and trying to be rich toward God. They do it through baptism. They do it through church membership. They do it by trying to live a good life, to be rich toward God. That's not possible. When I was in São Paulo, Brazil, working with the missionaries, the missionary there took me out to the church of the Holy Virgin. As we drove out to that place, they built there a beautiful, beautiful building over there, over that place. The church of the not just holy but black virgin. And I said, well, tell me the story about it. And they told me about two fishermen were out fishing. And one of those fishermen caught a black dhow. And as he reeled that thing in, he had an 18-inch black dhow and supposedly had a vision. And a vision was, if you come and pray to that dhow will forgive you. If you come and pray to that dhow, you can be saved. So they built this great, big, beautiful building there over that black dhow. And we went in that building, and I went in there and walked reverently up the side because there were people in there praying. And I walked up on the altar, and I could reach out and touch the glass box about this square, yea high, and inside was that black dhow with a halo on its head. And I stood there looking at it as I could hear these people pray. Then pretty soon the door in the back opened up and a man came in that was paralyzed from his arms down. And he crawled up that aisle in that church, in that place, and he came up, and as he came up, he flapped over on an elbow and he took out beads out of his pocket and he began to pray and began to weep. You know what I did? I stood there at that altar and I prayed and wept too. I didn't know a word he was saying. But listen, that dear man prayed and wept and prayed and wept as he looked up at that black virgin. And finally, he put the beads in his pocket and his shirt was wet from tears. And he swung around on his elbow and his fingers were raw from dragging himself. And he dragged himself out of that building. Listen, is that ought to be rich toward God? 1,000 times no. But oh, listen, so sincere, and was taught the wrong thing. Oh, listen, dear friend, in order to be rich toward God, the Bible says in John 14:5-6, Jesus said, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. I read also in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Oh, listen, not by crawling up an aisle. No, not by baptism or church membership, but by simply trusting in Him. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We just enter the door by faith, acknowledge that we're sinners, and put our faith and trust in Him, and He becomes our Savior. And then we become rich in God, rich in Him. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become a child of God by receiving Him. Oh, listen, we look at this passage. So many people today concerned about what they've got, concerned about retirement, concerned about their health program, concerned about all this business today, and say, I'm going to take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God looks down upon them and said, thou fool. This night thy soul's going to require it. What value is it going to be there? Oh, listen, dear friend, we need to know what it is to be rich in salvation. And then silver and precious stone and not wood, hay, and stubble. We need to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. We need to be obedient in church membership. We need to be obedient in victory over sin. We need to be obedient in witnessing. We need to be obedient in tithing. So when we stand before Him, we'll not just be rich in salvation, we'll be rich in service. What a blessing. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I was in the church and sitting up on the platform, and the pastor said to me, we got some special folk here this morning. And I said, who are they? He said, you look in the back on the right side, there are 37 mentally retarded folk that were in the service this morning. And as I looked at them, I said to this pastor, I said, they're special people. I pastored in a community that had the largest denominational home for retarded people in America. Retarded people. Some of the greatest honors bestowed upon me was when those dear folk would come by the church in a bus and I would go out and they'd greet me. They're special people. So when I preached that day, I brought a message. And I try to make a message so that people can understand if they're listening. And when I came to the invitation, a man in that group by the name of Roger raised his hand for salvation. And several others in that auditorium raised their hand. When I gave the invitation, several came forward and Roger came forward. And Roger got up to meet the pastor. The pastor put forth his hand and said, Roger, what'd you come forward for? And he could not speak like we can. His tongue was thick. And oh, listen, he tried in desperation. And he tried and tried to get it out. And finally, he took his fist and began to beat his chest. And as he beat his chest, it somehow sort of straightened his tongue a bit. And he said, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. And a personal worker came and took Roger and took him in a side room where they had counseling rooms and showed Roger how to get saved. And after the service was over, everybody in the auditorium had gone. 36 people in that crowd went out and got on the bus. And Roger came out of that side room, made one beeline across that auditorium, and he ran up and grabbed me. And he took his hand, and with that thick tongue said, Jesus is my Savior. I have accepted Him as my Savior. That's how to be rich toward God. I was back in that church and I was so anxious to see Roger again. Roger was scripturally baptized, a member of that church. He lives in the county-owned mentally retarded home. You know what Roger's doing? Roger is going room to room telling people, you need to get saved. I accepted him. You need to accept him. And someday Roger is going to stand before God rich in salvation, and rich in service. Now, dear friend, if Roger can do it, so can we. So can we. And, as we look at this passage, the night's coming. The night's coming. Eternity's coming. Have we forgotten the requirement of the soul? Have we forgotten what's involved in being rich toward God? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not embarrass, shall not point you out. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you, dear wonderful folk tonight, as you look into your heart, you say, yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can tell you when and where it was when I received the Lord as my Savior. If you know that for sure and you're not ashamed of it, as a testimony, slip your hand up right now. Just slip it up right now. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there someone here you didn't raise your hand because you're not sure you're saved? God would look down upon you and say, thou fool, thou unwise one. Not very wise to live without being saved. And tonight, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you slip your hand up and indicate, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. There's someone like that in this auditorium. Someone. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there someone here tonight? You say, I am saved, but the Lord's not been first in my life. You may be here and you do not have time to read the Bible and pray with your dear wife and with your children. You say, well, I don't have a husband. Well, then you need to pray anyway and read the Bible with your children. And you've not been taking the time to put the Lord first in your life. And God spoke to you tonight. And if death were to knock at your door, even as a Christian, if He's not first in your life, you'd stand before Him as an unwise one. And as heads are bowed, you slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Say, the Lord's not been first in my life. There's some things I need to deal with and take care of. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up right now. I see that hand. God bless you. Put it back down. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Someone else. You've not been taking the time to read your Bible and pray every day. The Lord's not been first in your life. You've not read the Bible with your children, if you have children. And God spoke to your heart tonight. Someone else. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. I pray, Lord, somehow that You'll speak to us. Lord, we long for revival. But we're not going to have revival unless we're willing to put You first. I pray for those that raised their hand. I pray for those that didn't. God, tonight, would You show us the requirement of the soul? Would You show us what it means to be rich in salvation by knowing absolutely for sure that we're saved and we're born again? And Lord, perhaps there's some here tonight, they do not know if they're honest that they're saved. And if they walk out of this building and death knocks at their door, they would not be in heaven. They'd be in hell. Tonight, show them the need to be saved. I believe there may be Christians here tonight. The Lord's not been first. There may be a dad. There may be a mother. There may be an adult. And the Lord's not first in their life. There may be a teenager here. The Lord's not first in their life. Tonight, speak to us that we might be rich in salvation and rich in service. And we'll praise You and love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 366 in the hymn book, 366, great song, I Surrender All. And that's what it's all about, just to surrender all. Let's stand and sing it together. The invitation's open. If you raised your hand and meant business tonight, then slip out and come. Just slip out and come and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to take care of it tonight. And I believe there's some that ought to come and stand here at this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to start tonight and put you first. There may be some dads, there may be some adults that need to come and stand here tonight and say, I'm going to put you first. As we sing the first and second verse of this song, will you come?